Good afternoon. It's 4:30. You're listening to KDNK. Welcome to Valley Voices. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh, your host, and joining me today is Jackie Skramstad, Clinical Operations Manager for MindSprings Health in Glenwood Springs. Jackie was a panelist on KDNK's Community Town Hall a couple of weeks ago, talking about some of the mental health impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic, and I wanted to continue that conversation. This interview was recorded early this morning, Thursday, April 23rd. Welcome to Valley Voices, Jackie Skramstad. It's good to have you joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Amy. Glad to be here.
I wanted to talk a little bit about COVID-19 and mental health impacts. A couple of weeks ago, Jackie, you said that MindSprings Health has not received many crisis calls. Has that changed at all?
I would say what has changed with our crisis calls is they've gone back up to where they would normally be this time of year. Right when the COVID-19 situation and stay-at-home orders came into play, we did see a dip in our crisis calls. And those have just gone back up to normal levels now.
Why do you think that is?
I think there's a couple reasons for it. One is, I think there was just so much kind of shock and people trying to process what was happening that I don't know that the impacts of what is happening with COVID, what will be happening with COVID over the next year, had really set in for people. So I think people were just in this sort of, I'm going to hunker down in my house and let's ride this out. And in a week or two, it'll all be over and it'll be fine. I think what we're seeing now, and not necessarily impacting crisis calls, but what we are seeing now is, I would say, some higher levels of anxiety in people in our community, people calling to start services. For a while, we didn't even have very many people coming in to start services. And coming in right now is a virtual thing. We're seeing people over Zoom, a televideo platform. So I think what we're seeing is some of the impacts have been sinking in for people, and people are trying to make sense of it. It's scary. It's worrying people. And so I think now we're starting to see some increases in some depression and anxiety. Now, I will say, though, Amy, one of the things that has happened, you know, that we're talking some about is really, if we're all being honest, there isn't a single person in our community, myself included, who does not have some kind of emotional reaction to what is happening right now, related to just our lives being turned upside down, businesses not being available, our routines no longer being what they used to be, people's finances, our work. If we are still working, it's probably being done in a very different fashion. So I think everybody's wrestling with some level of anxiety and possibly depression around this situation. It just may not have risen to the level where they've chosen to try and reach out for formal therapy services.
You know, I'm wondering if there is sort of a phased response to a pandemic like this. I mean, it's not something we've experienced before, obviously, but, you know, you and I talked a couple of weeks ago about the emotional psychological impacts and how they work within a long-term crisis such as this pandemic. And I'm wondering if, you know, it sounds like there's a different response from the sort of hunkering down phase, if you will, to the safer at home phase and to the long-term phase, sort of like the grief loss cycle, you know?
Well, I think looks different for different people. And I really, you know, want to highlight that, because I think a part of what's going to get us through this pandemic situation as a community, and with all of us having the best mental health and wellness, is that we really are compassionate with one another and make sure that we're connecting with one another. And so one way we can be really compassionate in regards to one another is to understand that how people process and move through this situation is going to look different for different people. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. So you might not be feeling depression, and somebody else might, and both reactions are valid and okay, and just a part of what we are all wrestling with. I think what's difficult about the pandemic, but I'll step back, you know, before I talk about the specific pandemic, is what we've seen in disaster in general, mm-hmm. is that there's often a lag of mental health services. So the disaster itself hits, whether it's a tornado, a flood, whatever, the disaster hits. And I think everybody rallies, you get through, you're kind of in that survival mode. And as the immediate safety impacts of the disaster have lifted, and it's in the recovery phase where I think people really have to process their emotions from the disaster itself and deal with any fallout, whether that was, social, people die in disasters, whether that's economic, property loss, whatever that is, we see the mental health lag of the spike in need after the disaster. Mm-hmm. What's tricky about this particular disaster is that it is longer ranging. Mm-hmm. You know, when there's a tornado, it hits. The tornado's gone.
Right.
The recovery phase goes on, but we don't even know when this pandemic is going to end. And I think that is what really is unsettling and difficult for people to go, okay, I can just get through to point A, you know, mm-hmm. I can make it to here and then it'll all be over. Like, there isn't an end point. There's all different kinds of projections on what could happen, what may be happening. People are doing their best to try and figure it out. And really, this is a virus we don't know and understand a lot about. And so that kind of unsettled nature about this, the fact that there isn't a roadmap to what this is actually going to look like, that's the part that's unsettling for people. We really want to have some sense of control and mastery in our lives. And right. when there's something like this that we don't understand, we can't control, we're not even 100% sure what the trajectory is here for this, that leaves us feeling really vulnerable and maybe even a little helpless, a little powerless. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what drives, I think, some of what we're seeing right now around the anxiety and potentially depression, maybe people coping more with drugs or alcohol than they have been, is people are just feeling really, really kind of vulnerable and powerless around this.
You know, it's really interesting as you were talking. Last night, I was thinking those exact same things. You know, I was just out on the deck looking at the stars, and I thought, wow, this is our life right now, you know, and this is our life into the future for an unforeseeable amount of time. You know, my plans and dreams for the future have kind of gone out the window a little bit. I'm not saying that I'll never mm-hmm. be able to do certain things that I want to do, but I don't know when that'll happen. And, you know, it left me with a feeling of deep disappointment. And I'm wondering, do you think this kind of pandemic, this long-term crisis, will create any kind of new mental health paradigms?
You know, human behavior is human behavior. I don't know if it's going to change a whole lot of mental health paradigms. I think the paradigm it is going to shift, and I think this is something that for all of our health and well-being, we have to start to let go of and have a sense of acceptance around the idea that there is no normal, or maybe the normal is going to keep shifting. I don't know how we want to define normal, or even if we want to try. I think people keep holding on to this notion that we're going to get back to normal. Mm-hmm. And whatever normal is going to look like, for one, it's going to be evolving over the next year mm-hmm. around how we are balancing physical distancing and being out and about and having a vibrant community and how we balance all those needs. That's going to be evolving. I also think at the end of this pandemic, whenever that's going to be, I don't think we're going to be going back to the normal that we once knew. And I think we have to find a way to sort of embrace that and allow a new normal to evolve. And I don't know what that's going to look like, but I do think that is the paradigm that is likely to shift.
I just want to remind listeners that you're listening to Valley Voices. My guest today is Jackie Skramstad of Mind Springs Health. And we're talking about mental health issues as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. Jackie Skramstad, what makes you say that once this pandemic sort of ends, we won't be returning to the normal we once knew? What makes you say that?
There are things that have already changed as a result of this pandemic mm-hmm. That have nothing to do with the pandemic itself that I think are going to impact our society. And so I'll use the mental health world since that's the world I'm very involved with. Right. We have been doing televideo therapy. That has been something that has been taking off in recent years, gaining popularity. Mm-hmm. Now that we've had to do it for every appointment, mm-hmm. I think there are going to be clients who say, gosh, this worked so much better for me. I live way outside of town, and for me to just be able to see my therapist on Zoom and not have to drive, or I have childcare issues, or there's going to be some people who don't want to go back to face-to-face therapy. Mm-hmm. There are going to be some therapists who really resisted technology as a tool for therapy who are going to now be thinking, goodness, how do we use this in new and different ways to engage people in therapy? Mm-hmm. And so I'll give you an example. This isn't one we've necessarily been doing during the pandemic, but I think as we really look at these platforms, one application may be, how do we get a working parent more involved in some of the family therapy sessions? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For example, construction is a really big industry in our valley. Mm-hmm. So for a working parent in the construction industry, you don't leave the construction site to drive to your kid's family therapy appointment.
Right.
That takes, what, half an hour to an hour to drive. You spend an hour in the session, then you go back. So now you've looked at anywhere from 2 to 3 hours off the job site. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't work in the construction industry. But if you could go sit in your car and Zoom in to your kid's family therapy session during your 45-minute lunch break, mm-hmm. now that is reasonable and doable. Mm-hmm. So I think there are ways that we are going to be looking at, gosh, what did we learn? How do we use this? Because there were some real benefits to that. I wonder if in cities, if a lot of this televideo platform is going to continue to be used in some of our businesses. I mean, the smog levels, the pollution levels. In cities, you can see the hills in L.A. right now, which
right.
you often can't. I mean, it's rare that you can see them. So I think when people look and go, wow, like, it, you know, this really had major impacts on pollution, on the health and well-being of those of us in cities like Denver and L.A. And I think the question is going to be asked, do we really want to go back
exactly
to the way it was, or do we want to use some of these lessons to move forward? Mm-hmm. So
So I think those are some of the things that I'm seeing when I'm saying that the new normal is going to be different. I don't mean to say that it's going to be better or worse. I just think that there are things that are going to evolve and change.
Right. You know, I want to shift a little bit to youth, to young people, high school students, and the impacts that this pandemic could possibly have or is having on the students. You know, this spring, the graduating class, as far as I know, won't be having a formal graduation ceremony. They probably didn't have a senior sneak day, and I don't think they had a prom. And I'm wondering how this sort of thing can impact kids and maybe what you've seen from the graduating class so far this year.
This pandemic, and I would say certainly for teenagers are such social beings. Mm-hmm. They want to be with their peer group and out and about. Mm-hmm. And so for many teens, this is a really challenging time because that is their world, their peers, their support network.
Right.
So this is difficult to just not even have the structure of going to school every day. So a part of what's hard is they don't get to go to school every day and see their friends, and that's their social outlet, that's their world. And they don't get to go to school every day, and that's a part of their routine. So like all of us struggling to kind of shift our routine, is unsettling, is not having that routine, that stability. Routines kind of ground us,
right,
and provide a sense of stability. And so when everything's in flux, it just feels less stable. So I think those are some of the impacts on the youth. I think the other thing, and I'm so thankful that there's so many creative people in our world and in our community, because there's a real recognition that things like graduation and I don't know that we can replicate senior sneak day, but things like graduation, where it's such an important hallmark, it's a ceremony, and ceremonies mark transition times, and they're so important. And there's so many people really trying to problem solve and think through how do we mark and have ceremonies and make this special and honor this transition, even if it doesn't look like it did last year or the year before or how it typically has looked, even if we have to do it different. And I think that's really important, because the important part is not that it looks like how it looked last year. We may have to grieve a little bit that it looks different, but how do we mark that transition? How do we make this special and honor this time for kids graduating high school and moving on to the next step in their life? Mm-hmm. That's an important thing to honor.
Sure.
And so I'm thankful there are people trying to figure that out. And how do we do this? And when I say people, I know the school district is wrestling with this. Mm-hmm. And I know families are wrestling with how do we honor this for our son, our daughter, and make this special, even if it's different.
Well, we just have a few minutes left, and I'm wondering if we can talk a little bit about moving the conversation forward. You know, what is it going to take for us to recover from this pandemic in terms of mental health issues? Because there have been so many things that have changed. You know, you said the other day that it will take longer for us to recover. And can you talk about that and talk about what we'll need to do in terms of mental health to bring ourselves out of this?
Sure. And again, none of us have a roadmap for what this is going to look like.
Right.
So maybe where I'll start is, I think what we want to do right now, because we don't have a roadmap. And as I said, in typical disasters, there's usually a lag in when the mental health spike happens. Maybe that won't happen here. Maybe there's some things we can do in advance. And I think a couple things that are really key that we can do right now is fostering connections. Mm-hmm. You know, we hear a lot about, and with youth, it's all about their social connections. With us as adults, we need social connections. And some of us who are highly extroverted need those connections far more than others. But on some level, we all need to feel connected to other people. Mm-hmm. So I think one thing we can do is really nurture connections, even if those are on the phone. Is it having Zoom meetings with your family or FaceTime or different ways to stay connected? Is it having Zoom yoga classes or exercise classes? There's, even if you're not directly interacting with people, I think there's the Aspen Film Festival that they're going to have screenings. It's on Facebook or some social media platform. So where you're joining other people doing activities where you feel connected, you know, watching the concerts on TV and knowing, oh my goodness, I'm connected to like thousands of people around the world right now. We are all watching this concert. You know, how do we foster those connections? I think those are really important pieces. And then I would say the other thing that we all want to do is during a disaster, and I talked about this, that we don't know where this is going. There's a sense of uncertainty, and that breeds a sense of powerlessness. So one of the things we want to do is find how to take back a sense of power and control. And we do that by taking action. And you see that in a disaster, there are people right now who are out there making face masks or delivering food. A beautiful thing I heard just yesterday, preparing for this interview, was our women's recovery program in Grand Junction that is a 90-day program helping women in recovery. They are all learning the skill of sewing right now and making masks that they are donating for clients at West Springs Hospital. Great. So it's been a really nice part for them of being connected to their community and giving back. How do we find ways to do that? Like maybe it's when you have money, making a decision, and I'm not going on Amazon. I'm going to make sure I put this money back into my community. That's right. The action step I'm going to take. Mm-hmm. How do we find some ways to take action steps that are meaningful, that can contribute to the health and well-being of our neighbors, our community? I mean, maybe it's helping a neighbor who's older do some shopping or some different things. How, you know, but it's taking that action step. I'm doing something to move forward and help my community move forward mm-hmm. in this pandemic. It's recovery. I think those are two things that we can really do right now that will help our overall mental health and wellness and could potentially minimize impacts down the road.
Jackie Skramstad, thanks very much. Really appreciate your time. And thank you for all of the work that you do for our community. And take care.
All right. Thanks, Amy.
You've been listening to Valley Voices and a conversation with Jackie Skramstad, Clinical Operations Manager for MindSprings Health in Glenwood Springs. If you need to talk to someone during this challenging time, you can call the MindSprings Health COVID support line at 877-519-7505. Again, the MindSprings Health COVID-19 support line is 877-519-7505. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh. Thanks for listening.